Once again, you are welcome to this glorious service of the Lord. And as you have come, the Lord will meet you at the point of your need in the name of Jesus Christ. That today's service will be a beginning of new things in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody meets with the Lord and remains the same. Your life will assume a new dimension for good today in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Without much ado, we'll be going straight to our Sunday school, and we shall be continuing the subject, the topic we started last week. And it is on the screen already. And the title of that subject, what we've been looking at, is understanding the process of salvation. Understanding the process of salvation. And we, in this study, we are looking at the relationship, the process of our salvation, understanding it, how it relates, how it affects our relationship to our God and our fellow brethren. So that is the aim. To give a believer the knowledge of his relationship with God, to give a believer the knowledge of his relationship with the brethren, to give a believer the knowledge of the position he or she is spiritually, and to create in a believer an awareness of expectation of God from him or her, to cause a believer to know the point at which he or she is saved, and finally, to warn a believer against the danger of assuming salvation. And last week, we looked at adoption. For those who missed last week's study, we introduced it and we discussed on adoption. Just a very brief recap. We said when you come to Christ, we're able to establish that you are not saved until you have received the Spirit of Christ. It is at the point the Lord gave you the Holy Ghost that you can say, now I am born again. And before you receive the Holy Ghost, he said there are processes, there are things you look at that you need to repent, you need to be baptized correctly, and finally, at the final stage of your salvation is when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that is the Spirit of God. And that Spirit that you receive, that the Lord revealed to you, at that point that you came to him, that the Lord revealed to you that he has given you the Spirit of adoption. And we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15. That ye have not yet received the spirit of fear again, but you have received the Spirit of adoption. We define adoption. So it's a process by which someone becomes the legal parent of a child who is not his or us biologically. That when we come to God, that when God gives us a spirit of adoption, that is God has adopted you as his son. That is the relationship that begins at that point. He revealed himself to you that he has adopted you. You are now his adopted son. And you know the meaning of adoption. Somebody taking another person's child as his own biological. Because before we came to him, we were under the control of the devil until salvation came. So when you received the Spirit of God, it reveals to you that he is your father, that father-son relationship, that spirit is adoption. Praise the Lord. We've established that. And now, Romans chapter 1, verse 15. Can we see it? Romans chapter 1, verse 15. Because revelation must be progressive. It says, so as much as it means, I am ready to preach. Verse 16. Say, I'm not ashamed. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 17 is my verse. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation. So after you have been adopted and you are enjoying that relationship with God, you are happy that you that were worthless, no identity, no father, now God has taken charge of being your father. That relationship, while you are enjoying it, you are happy worshiping God, thanking God for your life. Now God will give you, reveal himself to you again, that he has not only adopted you, that you are, he has redeemed you. The revelation has progressed from being an adopted child. Now, God is telling you he has redeemed you. Then you begin to wonder, if he has redeemed me, you don't talk of adoption if you do not belong to that person. Praise the Lord. What is adoption? Let's move to the next slide. So adoption is the process of recovering ownership of something. Adoption is the process. Something that is originally yours, for one reason or the other, you lost it. The process of recovering it back to you is what we call redemption. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you don't talk of redemption if something is not yours. You cannot redeem what was not yours. It was because it was yours that you lost it for whatsoever reason that you are not thinking of getting it back. The process of getting it is what we call redemption. Now, how did we become God's children? You can't talk of redemption without looking at predestination. Praise the Lord. You can't talk of redemption. Redemption is a process of you recovering the ownership of something. Something that you own, that you lost. It means that thing was yours. Now, that will lead us to predestination. How did we become God's children? So we will discuss predestination before we properly look at redemption. Praise the Lord. And all of this is to help us understand our relationship with God. Praise the Lord. What is predestination? Predestination is an English word. Say, to determine the future of something in advance. The end of something, to determine it. Predestination. Predetermine. How something will end, you already determine it. That is an English word. Now, scripturally speaking, what is predestination? Say, predestination means choosing for salvation or electing for salvation before the foundation of the world. Please, I want us to be very, very, very attentive now, because the salvation we are talking about is not about a wish. You wish it. Salvation is God's own business. Salvation is the prerogative of God. Salvation is God's sovereignty. Choosing for salvation before the foundation of the world. It is those that have been chosen for salvation that God came to redeem. So you have to understand the process by which you are chosen for salvation before we begin to accuse God of partiality. Oh, God is partial. How can he choose some people for salvation and send to people to hell? So we understand that God is not partial as we continue in this study. Praise the Lord. Now, how did God choose some people for salvation? Is God partial? Is God partial? Before the foundation of the world, some people have been elected. Before this world, this earth ever began, before the very beginning, God has chosen people, people that will be saved for salvation. That you are a Christian today, it's not just because it's not today that you decided. Before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb, you have been chosen for salvation. Am I speaking the truth? We will understand it better. Now, God is not gambling. God is not gambling. Those that will accept the salvation plan of God, those that when God will reveal his salvation to, and they will accept it, before the very foundation of the world, God has known them. How is it possible? That is what we know about foreknowledge. Praise the Lord. Foreknowledge is God's ability. It's an ability that belongs to God. And what does this ability, what does it entail? It is ability to know the end of a thing from beginning. Let's read Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. Foreknowledge. You and I, we don't have it. Even the devil does not have foreknowledge. Ability to know the end of a thing from the beginning. Look at it. He said, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Declaring the end from the beginning. Let's read verse, Acts of Apostles chapter 15, verse 18. Still talking about God's foreknowledge. He knows that before you were born, that today you will be sitting down here. Does God know it? That if he does not know that you will be sitting down here, we are going to be learning together. That means he's not God. As of Apostles chapter 50 verse 18, it says, known unto God are all his works. From where? From where? The beginning of the world. The whole salvation process, God has concluded it even before the foundation of the world. So what happened? You know, the fall of man, did it take God by surprise? The fall of man, did it take God by surprise? Even before the devil conceived it in his heart, even before all the things that he masterminded in the Garden of Eden, God has already made the plan of escape of man. When was in the book of Revelation, when was Jesus Christ was slain? He said Christ was slain from where? From the foundation of the world. God has made provision for how man will be redeemed. Now, when God created man, he knew that the Satan will come and tempt him. He knew that he what? Man will fall. And that when man will fall, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 12, because of the fall of man, what happened? Death came upon all human. Say, wherefore, as by one man's sin, the sin of Adam, what happened? Sin entered into the world. And all of you that did not even commit that the sin that Adam and Eve committed, we were partakers of that sin. We became sinners. And as a result of that, what happened? We were separated from God. Praise the Lord. Now, all of us have been cut off. God, by his foreknowledge, knew of all these people that have been cut off, sentenced to hell. He knew, if I reveal my salvation plan for this my children, those that will accept the salvation plan, he knew them even before your mother and your father came together. And on the basis of that is foreknowledge, that, oh, this one, by the time Jesus Christ will come and die, and offer the salvation, and they begin to preach to him, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. He has paid the supreme price for you. He has done this. Those that will believe, He wrote their name. Where? Where did he write their name? And it is those people that their names are written. They are the people that we accept salvation. Praise the Lord. If your name before the foundation of the world was never written in that book of life, there is no sermon they can preach to you that you will accept. Praise the Lord. That is why we say boldly that salvation is not for all. If your name is never in that book of life, you see, if let our Savior himself preach to you, there is nothing in you that will make you to accept it, because your name is not there, and because you are not of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. Let's read it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. Set the foundation of the law. Stand there sure. Verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. Say, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. You know, when that thing hanging there, when Satan did all what he did, and we began to have all manners of people on this earth, you will think that all of us, even though that with the perverted nature, we are all children of God. See something. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. God knows his own. I said, and let everyone that named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God knew his own. He has written their names into the book of life. So that is, it is true predestination that God already chosen us for salvation before the foundation of the world. Because you were not just his adopted child. It was because you are his. Because Adam that he created was given a commission to do what? To bring forth after his likeness. Adam is supposed to bring you and I forth. But the sin came and cut short that plan. But not forever. Praise the Lord. I said, not forever. Devil thought he had scattered, defeated the plan of God to have his children through Adam to reign on this earth. By doing what he did. But little did he know that what he did only fast forwarded, only helped God to achieve that plan. For without any controversy, the second Adam, what the first Adam could not achieve of bringing you and I forth to reign on this earth, the second Adam, through Jesus Christ, has done it. And you and I, having the Holy Ghost, we are going to reign on this earth. If you believe that, celebrate Jesus. We shall reign on this earth. That is why we are not moved by what is happening now. We shall reign. He has made us kings and kings. He has made us priests and kings. And we shall reign. Revelation 5:10, we will get there. We shall reign. Now, we are Adam is supposed to bring God forth. But because of that sin, we were lost. And God began a new plan. A new plan that will still make his plan to still come to pass. For no man, no power, no demon can defeat the purpose of God. So, all his children that Adam is supposed to bring forth, that he could not bring forth because of that sin, God knows them. Are we following? So, before the foundation of the world, we are what? God's children. Are you a God's child? Are you a God's child? Are you a God's child? Put your hands together for the Lord. We are God's children before. Adam failed, but the second Adam did not fail. I said Jesus Christ did not fail. Now, you have understood now that we were not just adopted. We were his. From the what? The foundation of the world. We're supposed to comfort through Adam. Are we together? Now, that is predestination. But he has written our name through what? Through his foreknowledge. That those that will accept that is salvation plan, he wrote their name. If your name was not in that book of life, even if you are sitting down in a church every day, every month, every year, 20 years, you will not understand the process of salvation. And it's still happening today. For you to have accepted Jesus, gone through the processes, repentance, water baptism, and you have received the Holy Ghost, the evidence is your name is in the book of life. And if you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and your name is in that book of life, it is a matter of time. Even before today's service, you can receive it. If you have that, celebrate Jesus. So we were chosen for salvation before the very beginning. That is predestination. God knowing something. No, I need to establish it. What did God know about you? God knows that the choices that you will make, that like, our brother was speaking about it that time, when he was talking about Esau. Before Esau and Jacob were ever formed, he said, Esau I hate, Jacob I love. Before they were ever born, God knew through this foreknowledge the choice that I will make. It is basis of the choice that you will make, that when salvation is offered to you, that you will accept it, celebrate it, and follow Jesus. Based on that knowledge of the decision or the choice that you will make, when salvation is presented to you, your name is in the book, was written in the book of life. And it is you that Jesus Christ come to redeem. Let's read Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. He said, for whom he did foreknow. Are you following? He said, for whom he did foreknow. Those you and I that he has had foreknowledge, he has known. He also did what? Predestinate. What? He has chosen. He knew them. Now he has chosen them for salvation. That is meaning of predestination. To be what? To be conformed to the image of his son. We talk about that. The purpose for choosing you for salvation is not just for all these material things. He has a purpose. We will get to all that later. So, because he knew them, he now did what? Predestinate. What's the predestination? Choosing them for salvation before the very beginning. Verse 30. Verse 30, the next verse. Moreover, look at this. Look at how he now achieved it. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. See how you know that truly you are predestinated or not. If he has predestinated you, if he has chosen you for salvation before the beginning of the war, see what will happen. You have no choice anymore. It is a choice that this must happen to you. If this does not happen in your life, it shows that you were not chosen. And that is why in your family, you have your brethren. You have your brethren. Even some are even looking more righteous, just like Esau and Jacob. But yet, the process of salvation, they will not understand. Process of salvation is only understood by those who were chasing for salvation before the foundation of the world. I'm still reading. This, you must experience this verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. This must happen. If he has chosen you, what happened? He must call you. See, then he also called. Have you been called? Have you been called? Not only called for service, so, you know, we have another call. There are some people that are called to do binding and loosing, just to prophesy, just, and yet they are not called for salvation. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, God will call you for service, and he will also call you for salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. For it does not profit anything if after you are banned and you have cast at the end of the day, he said, depart from me, O you workers of iniquity. You will not be a borrowed vessel in the name of Jesus Christ. God will use you and you will reign with him in the millennium and eternity in the name of Jesus Christ. Are we learning? Say those that he called, if he has called you for salvation, he must do what? Just. We have established justification. The process by which the sin you inherited from Adam And the one you committed from the day you were born is the process by which it is remitted through correct water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. That you stand before God as if you have never committed sin. You must be justified correctly. You must be what? Justified. If you are not justified, your name is not in the book of life. If you are not justified, you have no part in the salvation plan of God. It is important. Anybody that is saying water baptism has aspired is not a part of salvation. And somebody who is not a part of salvation cannot preach salvation. Cannot preach salvation. You must be what? Justified. Thank God for we are grounded in all this thing. This is the essence of Christianity. Be properly rooted in things that pertain to salvation. We are still reading. Verse 30. He called you for salvation. He justified you. You will understand that process of water baptism. And what? After he has justified you, what will he do? He glorified you. That glory that Adam lost by that sin, that glory is restored. That spirit of, he put it in you. Thank God that this teaching is coming at a time like this because we are preparing for our June camp. We are preparing for our June camp. And I believe that God is bringing this teaching for even those of us that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost to see test for more. And those of us that are seeing expectation that we should prepare very well. To prepare very well to ensure in all your pursuits, endeavor that you are glorified. For nothing on earth can be compared with you being right with God through His Spirit in you. For that is the hope of glory. That is the what? The hope of glory. The cars, the houses, the children, the connections, the fame cannot be compared. That is our hope. We will not miss it in Jesus' name. I said we will not miss it in Jesus' name. Glorified. It is at that point you are glorified, you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ in you. That is when you say you are saved. You are not saved. Brethren, you are not saved until you have received the Spirit of Christ in you. Until you are glorified. Until you have that baptism of Holy Ghost, it does not matter the number of years. It does not matter the title that you bear. It does not matter the service that you are rendering. It does not matter how long you have been going to church. Ensure that you have that Spirit of Christ. Because that is your assurance of the rapture. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we have understood predestination now. We have established predestination. That is not just you wishing it. You are not the one wishing. You are not the one even trying to. If it is about me, somebody like me will not be saved. Somebody like me will not even be saved. But because my name was in the book of life, I have no choice. It is automatic. It is automatic. No matter how deep I went into the world, at the appointed time, I must come in. At the appointed time, you must come in. And that is why we're here. Let's celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. If it, salvation is by the wish of man, we will never smell it. We will never smell it. But because it is of God, and God in His mercy loves us so much, and He shows you, He shows me for salvation. What did we do to deserve it? It is by His mercy. May the name of the Lord be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. So predestination has been established. Now, because you have been chosen, now, it is now clear to you that you are not just an adopted son. That you are what? You are His children. We are His children from the very beginning. Now, because we are lost, there is need for what? Redemption. Redemption. Now, let's move to that. Let's take this scripture before we move to the next. Romans 9:10. Please take down this scripture. This is a scripture that confirms to you the truth about predestination. We have some holiness believing churches that even many Pentecostals, many churches, they don't believe in predestination. But our eyes have understanding have been opened. We know. You can't explain it away. Look at this. And not only this, but when Rebecca also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, verse 11 is my emphasis. For the children, being not yet born, this is just to tell you about salvation is by election. Neither having done any good or evil. That the purpose of God, according to what? Election. My stand, not of works, not of the way that you are righteous, praying, but of him that calleth. It is of him. Your salvation is all about him. It's not about you. He has chosen you. Praise the Lord. So, you are his. Now, we are separated from him. Man, by the reason of what the first Adam did, we are cut off from God. And there is need for redemption. Let's move to the next slide. I have defined, we all know that redemption, it says, the act of recovering the ownership. We have established how we became God's children. Recovering the ownership of something by buying it back. You cannot get the ownership of that thing without payment. Praise the Lord. So this is the process of getting back what was originally yours but was lost. How are we lost or separated from God? You know, he told Adam, he said, the day you eat of this fruit, what will happen? You shall die. Did Adam die that day? Did Adam die that day? He died. Death, spiritually, is separated from the source of life. He died. He died. But God allowed it to fulfill his plan. Now, there is need for us to be redeemed. There is need for us to be redeemed. And now, for redemption to take place, look at the four laws. These four laws, we are going to explain them. There are four laws that must be fulfilled. What is the first one? The redeemer, the person that must come to redeem the person that is a captive. Must what? Must be related. For you to be redeemed, for you to be restored back, there must be a relationship. Second law is, the person must be what? Be free from the bondage that have taken that person. He must also what? Be able to pay the price. Redemption is not complete until payment has been what? Made. Praise the Lord. And finally, the person must be willing to understand the whole essence of redemption. We will look at the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is, if you look at that story, you might be thinking that it is just a story in the Bible. But that story of the story there, it is all about the redemption of man. Praise the Lord. The story that you see, if we understand that story well, then you will properly understand how God redeemed man. And you will appreciate what God has done for you. And you'll be able to serve God acceptably. Praise the Lord. Can we have the book of Ruth? You will see the various types. The various types. How man. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. IT, the book of Ruth. Ruth is verse 1. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now, I believe it's a story that, because if we begin to place it, pick it fast by fast, we will not end it. But I believe it's a story that every Christian should have read. Say, look at this. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, and there was a farmer in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. When God, please, we are going to liken it together. You see different types. When God created man, he put that man in Genesis, in the what? In Eden. Now, this man is in Bethlehem, Judah. And the meaning of Bethlehem, Judah is the house of bread. That it is house of what? Bread. Now, in the house of God, there is supply of all their needs. They are in the presence of God. Just like the Adam was in that garden. Everything that he needed was what? Was supplied. Are we together? Are we together? But a time came. Look at temptation. God gave them an instruction that thou shall not do this. That the day you do this, this will happen. God created the whole earth and gave it to man to rule over. He gave him dominion. But there is a condition to his dominion, to his rulership, for him to totally be in control of this earth. Now he was there. A temptation came by the enemy to disbelieve the instruction that he gave to him. Now what happened to this man that God is in the house of God? Bethlehem signified the presence of God. Is it the house of bread? Now, let's read on. Okay, verse 2. And the name of that man was who? Elimelech. And the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Malom and Shilion, Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab. Now, he said there was famine. And Moab, they felt that there was food in Moab. Look at the temptation. Moab, symbolically, has always been the enemy of the Jews. Now, the temptation to leave the presence of God came because of famine, a temporary maybe setback or difficulty that they should have remained. The same way that the Satan, the arch enemy of man, came and caused them. Did God say this? And they believed Satan instead of believing God. And what happened? They fell. The famine came. Instead of enduring, what did they do? They left that presence of God. Praise the Lord. They left the presence of God. What happened when Adam and Eve, when they fell for that temptation? What happened? The glory of God, what happened? Departed. And what happened? That is when we fell into all manners, sicknesses, torment, and eventual death. The whole glory of man was what? Was taken away. What happened to, let's read on. What happened to Elimelech and Naomi after they have left the presence of God? And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, what happened? Died. Did Adam die immediately they left? They died. See what happened? And she was left of her two sons as if it was every glory that God gave to man. He gave us dominionship. He gave us control. The rulership of this world was given to man. Are we in charge today? Why are witches and wizards tormenting us? Why are sicknesses reigning over us? Before Adam fell, was there sicknesses? Was there death? Was there witches and wizards? That is when this what happened. They left. We are reading. Now, these two children, let me just summarize it. After a while, the two children that they have, Malon and Shilion, what happened again? Tell me the whole glory that Naomi had, everything was what? It was derobed because they left the presence of God. They have an inheritance. That Bethlehem Judah was given to them is a family inheritance for them. They are supposed to remain there. The same way that God has given man the rulership, the dominion of this world, to remain in his presence without listening to that strange voice. And immediately they acting, they were kicked out because of that little temptation that came. They kicked out and the glory of man. What happened? Departed. What happened? Departed. Now, after a while, He realized that the house that he left, the country that he left because of famine, he realized that God, it's just a temporary setback. I mean, it's a temptation that you should have endured. It's a temptation to Adam. If Adam has not listened, we will have eternal life. We will have been living forever on this earth. But everything happened for God's plan to be fulfilled. Anyway, now, he had to return. He had to what? Return. But his glory, that land that was given to them, Bethlehem, Judah, is their inheritance. The right to it is always on the male child. The husband is what? Gone. The two sons are gone. He made a statement. When he was going home, he said, I went out full. He was returning where? He was returning where? Empty. The whole glory. He was derobed. Are we following? So he came back. Now, even though the land is still there, but the asset, the control over it, it is the male children, the husband, he has none. Just the same way. You know, Satan thought, immediately Adam fell, he thought that the control, the rulership of this world, he thought it belongs to him. That was what he was telling Jesus in Luke chapter 4. When he was doing the temptation, he said, bow down. He said, the whole glory, everything, the title deed, he said he was giving to him. Is devil the legal owner? Is devil the legal owner of this earth? This earth is given to you and I to dominate. And we shall dominate. I said we shall dominate. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. The second Adam has completed the whole process. The second Adam has achieved us for us. We are coming back. This is the understanding that makes people like us to be very rugged no matter what is going. Because we know this is not the final home. This is not the final home. After everything, we still come back. The same Jesus we are looking at, we are reading about, will be at Jerusalem. You and I will be in our various localities, judging, ruling. If you have that open, you celebrate Jesus. We are coming back. We are coming back. We are coming back. Now, devil thought the title deed belongs to him. Where did that title deed go to? Where did he go to when man lost it? Back to God. Man has no more control. That is why lions, if lions enter ears, now what happened? Will you wait? But in the beginning, was it so? They were playing, but it will happen again. I said it will happen again. Do you believe it will happen again? That you will see lion, you will see python, you will be playing with it. That is what redemption has achieved for us. We shall get today. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. Now, when he came back, the land, the inheritance, give it to them. He has, though it is a family, because God gave them the Jews, that land, when he shared it to them, even if you sell it because of poverty or hardship, you are not selling it permanently. After a while, the ownership must return, but you must pay back. Praise the Lord. It must return. You are not to sell it. And God is so wise. So that every family in Israel will have an inheritance. You are not to sell. So that land was there. The land they left because of temporary hardship. And have made them to what? To lose all their glory. He came back. Now, verse 4. Let's go to chapter 4. Because the whole thing that took place, chapter 2, chapter 3, is just the process of how Ruth, the daughter-in-law, if you take your time and study how he rejected the Moab. Moab is a type of the world. And he followed Naomi back to Israel. Now, when they came, you know, no, he has no son to marry her. But yet, he said he's God. He said our God will be our God. They came back to Israel. Now, chapter 4. Everything that play from chapter 4, verse 1 to the end is speaking of how Jesus Christ came to redeem us. But we understand. Now, look at what happened. Then went Boaz. Boaz, if you read chapter 2, is a related man. He's a kinsman. He's related to Naomi. Very wealthy. Now, the land, even though he's still in the family, but Naomi has no control, has no asset anymore, because it falls, the right falls on the male child. Now, that land must be redeemed for him to continue to remain. It must be redeemed to remain their inheritance. Now, look at what. Boaz is a member. Ruth has gone out, you know, to glean wheat and all that. He has shown kindness. Now, Naomi suggested to Ruth that he should move close to Boaz so that he can redeem, he can buy the land. He can redeem that land. It is because it is in the process of buying that land that Ruth will have inheritance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, but please, I want us to pay attention here. In that family, the way the law is arranged, it must be the closest kinsman. Boaz is a kinsman, but it's not the closest. Praise the Lord. So when Naomi has told Ruth what he should do so that that land can be redeemed, knowing the law, Boaz said, though I am related to you, but there is still one man that is closely related. Except that one turned down the offer of redeeming the land, that is where he will step in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now let's read. He said, then when Boaz up to the gate, and all this thing you are hearing here is very, very significant. The gate, see where that redemption is taking place. And you know, okay, we'll talk about this later. Let's get the picture. He said, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, the closest kinsman of the family. When he sat down by the gate, came by. Look at it. Unto whom he said, oh, means my friend. Said such a one. Turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. Verse 2. And he took 10 men. Because for redemption to take place, there must be witnesses. When Jesus can pay the price, were there witnesses? Where did Jesus can pay the price? At where? Golgotha. Where is Golgotha in Jerusalem? By the what? The city gate. Where are they now? Where are they now? At the gate. Let's read on. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. Verse 3. And he said unto the kinsman Naomi, said Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. That is the inheritance of the family. Now, that land that must be redeemed. Now, let me just paraphrase this. That land must be paid for. He now met this one that they described, oh, my friend, that he should come and buy. This is where you will appreciate what Jesus Christ did. The closest person that should redeem. Let's read on. See what he did. At first, he was happy. He said, and I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou will redeem it, please follow. Redeem it. But if thou will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee. Because he is the closest. He is the one that has the primary obligation to redeem. Being the closest kinsman in the family. I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem him. He was willing. Look at the condition. We said the person that will redeem must be what? Must be free, must be willing, must be related, and must be able. They have left Moab. They are back home. So, it's free. It's back in the presence of God, as we have put, that the Bethlehem Judah represents the house of God, the presence. So it's free. Now, he was willing. He was willing. Now, he's related. He's related, so he has fulfilled those conditions. But read on. See why he was not able. Then said Boaz, What day, see the condition. What day thou buy that field of the land of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabites. When you are redeeming that land, when you are paying for it, you must also, meaning that you must marry who? Marry. And the purpose of it, we understand it better. Why he must marry? Because if he did not marry it, they need to have children that will continue to be the legal inheritor, the person that will be inheriting the right to that inheritance. They must have children. So that is the condition. Now, what did he say? By also the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. But see what he said. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself. Revelation chapter 5, verse 3. This is what happened. The closest person to redeem, turn it down. And this is what was happening. Revelation chapter 5, verse 3. When they look up and down, who can redeem man? Who will be able to redeem man so that he will be able to fulfill his God-given purpose on earth? Look at what happened. This will make you to appreciate your salvation. I said, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book and neither to look thereon. It is in the book that the salvation, redemption of man is. No man, he turned it down. He said, he cannot. He even gave the reason why he cannot redeem it. And Jesus Christ, because he must be related. Why we say he must be related? He must. No man was qualified in heaven. Why? Every man was in the bondage. And he must be related. Since all human beings were in the bondage, God, that is only spirit that can come. God has to become what? Man. He has to what? Become man. Time will not permit me to continue. Brethren, we need to dissect this story of Ruth very well, so that we can understand what God did for our redemption, and we will properly serve him with the all of our strength, with the all of our mind, so that we will fulfill the purpose of God concerning our salvation. Bow down your head and begin to worship him. Begin to appreciate him for what he has done concerning your salvation, for your redemption. If Christ has not come, the old man is finished. If the second Adam has not come, there is no how. The purpose of God for our life can be fulfilled. We shall reign again. Jesus Christ did it for us. We will understand it better and by.
Beautiful light, come where the dew drops of